We're going to call this regular meeting of the Broward County Planning Council for May 26th to order. If we could, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before everybody has a quick seat, I'm going to ask Commissioner Castillo if he would not mind leading us in a moment of silence. I think there's some people to be remembered.
We have, thank you, Madam Chair, we have two recently departed friends of Broward County and land use, both of them exceptional public servants. One was Elliot Auerhan, who served this county admirably for many, many years in a land use capacity, and in retirement, he passed away. And also Marcy Nolan, who was a land use attorney and represented land use interests for the town of Davie. Both exceptional people, gone too soon. Moment of silence, please. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you for leading that. Appreciate it. If we could now have the roll call.
Commissioner Richard Blattner.
Here.
Commissioner Mark Bogan. Commissioner Angelo Castillo.
Here.
Mr. Neil DeJesus. Mr. Thomas DiGiorgio.
Here.
Mr. Charles Fink.
Here.
Mr. Michael Trudell.
Here.
Commissioner Bill Gantz. Commissioner Michelle J. Gomez.
Here.
School Board Member Patricia Goodman.
Here.
Ms. Mary D. Graham.
Here.
Mr. Richard Russo.
Here.
Commissioner Michael S. Long.
Here.
Vice Mayor Rita Mack.
Here.
Mr. Robert McColgan.
Here.
Mr. Bernard Parnas.
Here.
Mayor Michael J. Ryan.
Present.
Mayor Daniel Fitzdermer.
Here.
Ms. Ann Castro, Chair.
Here. And we have a request to excuse absences for Commissioner Gantz, Commissioner Bogan, and Mr. DeJesus. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Have a motion.
Second.
A second from Ms. Good. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, carries unanimously. Thank you. We're going to go on to the consent agenda. Any items to pull, or may I have a motion to?
Move the consent agenda.
Second. Who is second, I'm sorry?
Anyone.
Okay, Commissioner Gomez, you're up.
Over here.
Okay, I'm just trying to make sure Nancy can pick it up. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing, seeing none, carries unanimously. Now we're on to the regular agenda. I'm going to take it this time because you threw me a curve the first time. Obviously, R1 and R2 are the annual reviews for our executive director and our council. I'll just tell you in advance that the executive committee motioned to approve both reviews and recommendations. And we had a lot of kind words to say, although later we found out that maybe Ms. Blake Boy's technical skills aren't what they're supposed to be. Just kidding.
Oh, with the PowerPoint.
The PowerPoint was not coming up for a while. But anyway, I'm going to bring it back to the council. Somebody would like to make a motion, if anybody wants to make any comment.
Move approval.
Move approval.
Second.
Have a second.
And I'd also move to incorporate all of the comments made at the executive committee, land use, traffic ways, joint committee before this meeting.
Okay, and does anybody else on the council would like to add any comments to their reviews? You're welcome to do so at this time.
We all raved.
Well, we did rave. We were all like, you know, but if anybody wants to rave more, feel free. Nope, okay, I'm going to call a question. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, carries unanimously. Mr. Morota's council's report.
Thank you very much for the kind words at the executive committee meeting. Thank you.
At least speak to the mic.
And Andy spoke in the mic.
He spoke in the mic. Executive Director's report.
Good morning, thank you. Thank you to everyone for the evaluation and everything that was said at the combined meeting earlier. I just wanted to mention, as a follow-up to that, that we have the best staff, and it's the only reason that Andy and I can make it look like we're doing such a great job on a regular basis. So we really, we appreciate everyone, for the planning council staff, and the board members are great, and we appreciate the great working relationship. Thank you. The second thing is, what's in your backup materials is the 2017 calendar. It's a ministerial, just over each year, we let the municipalities and applicants know what the deadline calendar is going to be for 2017. So I would appreciate approval of that, so we can distribute that and post it on the website.
Any concerns or questions about the calendar? May I have a motion to approve? Have a motion to approve? And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, carries unanimously.
Thank you. And then the final item is just at the Land Use Traffic Ways Executive Committee combined meeting. We had an overview of the 7 highlighted regional issues for Broward Next, and you can anticipate on the public hearing process starting for that at your June meeting. So it'll be the way that the agendas are looking right now for over the summer, lighter on the land use side, but plenty of homework for the Broward Next implementation and the vision pieces.
Now, the presentation you gave today was distributed widely, as we've discussed before.
It was on the Dropbox link,
right.
So if people check that, but I will make sure we'll send it back out today, just so that people have a copy of it, and it's kind of fresh in your email inbox.
Especially if they don't have the Dropbox interest. Please review all this carefully, because now we're getting to the point of no return. Whatever the framework is at this point. We can't go back and start anything over. I just think so far it's coming together really nicely, and I know the team and Mr. Sneezak team, who Mr. Sneezak, where is he? Did he leave? Who was promoted? There he is.
Hi.
Who was promoted? Congratulations to Henry.
Congratulations, Henry.
He and Ms. Blake Boy and the rest of the team of Planning Council and his team have done a phenomenal job. This was really a Herculean effort throughout the county, and they have really done just wonderful to reach out to the communities, find out what everybody's interest is, and so far it's going on really well, and we don't want it to come off the track at this point. So thank you very much.
Thank you. That's it. That concludes the Executive Director's report. For the public hearing items, the only members of the public are signed in for questions only. Item 3 was requested to be tabled by the City of Deerfield Beach.
May I have a motion to table item 3 till August? Till August, time certain August. We had a motion, who motioned? Okay, thank you. Second?
Second.
Over on this side. Do you have those, Nancy? You good?
Was it Ms. Gomez?
No.
Oh, Ms. Gomez.
Yeah. Commissioner Vice Mayor Mack, Commissioner Mack. And who over here seconded? Okay, there you go. Mr. Giorgio?
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, carries unanimously. So item 3 has been tabled. Now, are there any other pulls? 1, 2, 4, 5, 6?
I'll move PH 1, PH 2, PH 4, and PH 5, leaving PH 6 on the agenda.
Okay.
Second.
I want to ask to pull 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
Okay.
It's 4.
So we're going to move 1, 2, and 3?
Yep.
Okay.
1, 2, and 3, just table 3.
Sorry, table 3. 1 and 2. Thank you. So we have a motion and a second to move 1 and 2. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Hearing none, carries unanimously. Now we're going to go to 4.
Do you want an overview, or do you want to...
Do you want overview, or would you like just...
Madam Chair, I just wanted it pulled so I could vote no, like I did when it was first before us a few months back. Thank you.
Okay. That's fine.
Can I say something?
If you want to.
Yes, I'm in the seat.
I did sign it.
Okay, that's fine.
I just wanted an update. Dennis Mealy, 200 East Broward Boulevard, representing the applicant. You may recall when we were here for the first reading, we had a number of people in the audience that were opposed. There was a lawsuit that had been filed. The lawsuit has since been settled. There is no more dispute. The item was approved, I believe, unanimously at the city. I think it was last week, Commissioner. And I wasn't at the meeting, that there was no further opposition. So I just wanted to give you that update.
Thank
you very much.
Do I have a motion on PH 4?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Did you get the second, Nancy?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Would you please call a roll?
Commissioner Richard Blattner.
Yes.
Commissioner Mark Bogan. Commissioner Angelo Castillo.
Yes.
Mr. Neil DeJesus. Mr. Thomas H. DiGiorgio.
Yes.
Mr. Charles F. Fink.
Yes.
Mr. Michael Friedel.
Yes.
Commissioner Bill Gantz. Commissioner Michelle J. Gomez.
Yes.
School Board Member Patricia Good.
Yes.
Ms. Mary D. Graham.
No.
Mr. Richard Russo.
No.
Commissioner Michael S. Long.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Rita Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Robert McColgan.
Yes.
Mr. Bernard Parnas.
Yes.
Mayor Michael J. Ryan.
Yes.
Mayor Daniel J. Sturmer.
Yes.
Ms. Ancaster, Chair.
Yes. Eyes have it, the motion carries. We're up to page five.
Page five is the first public hearing. It's the annual update of the wetlands map. This data is provided by the Environmental Protection and Growth Management Department on an annual basis, and this is the update, and it provides there's a table as attachment one, the additions to the Broward County wetlands map. Planning Council staff recommends approval.
Ms. Brown?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Have there been any decreases in the wetlands designations? I just want this on the record in the minutes, because the backup wouldn't necessarily be part of the minutes for the general public.
Not that staff is aware of.
Okay, do I have a motion on page five?
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Grasso, that's fine.
One question. Could you give us
30 seconds on what the designation as a wetland means for development orders or plan amendments for any property then that's trying to develop or whatever?
Sure, for as far as the Broward County Land Use Plan and amendments related to that, part of the environmental review, if there's a jurisdictional wetland already on site that's determined, or if it's unknown, that's included in the amendment report and review. So we usually, if that's the case and it's identified as a potential wetland or already a jurisdictional wetland, it's that the determination either has to be made or that you have to comply with all of the wetlands policies. So when that occurs, we get a statement from the applicant that they are going to comply with any requirements of that jurisdiction.
Can I ask a follow-up, Madam Chair? As part of the whole reanalysis of things related to the climate compact, the sea level rise, are we making more stringent our wetland protection requirements? Where's that all lie?
It's all being maintained. So we have a pretty, we actually refer to the natural resource protection policies as kind of world-class as it is in the seven highlighted regional issues for Broward Next. And so we're anticipating to maintain the wetlands policies as they are today.
If I could follow up, why would we not be just working off the science that says all opportunities for flood maintenance and for natural area protection are important for climate and sea level rise? Why wouldn't we be ratcheting up our wetland protection?
And that is part of the strategies. I mean, I was just looking at the narrow wetlands, but all of those are pieces of the climate resilience planning and the natural resource protection, promoting and maintaining more efficient water supply. And those are all tools that are used to achieve that.
But we're not making it harder to develop wetlands as part of that strategy?
Well, that actually, I mean, that's not part of the land use plan. The actual development, that's at least in the land development code and in the chapter 27. And that is updated from time to time. I mean, I would, if you want to have a really detailed discussion of it, I actually would request that, you know, we bring the county staff in. I don't know if they're available for this meeting, to a future meeting.
Yeah.
For a presentation on that.
That's chapter 27 in the land development regulations that are not your jurisdiction, other than making recommendations when they adopt new ones as to consistency with the comprehensive plan. But that is a different, that's not part of the land use plan, it's part of the land development.
I would go ahead and put that on, set it for an agenda.
We could certainly do a kind of an informational presentation for that. A presentation. It's here, but I mean, not for a presentation, I think for any, if you want to.
I appreciate the indulgence. I certainly think since the LDRs have to be consistent with the plan, to me it is a plan issue, how well we're protecting wetlands, so I appreciate the indulgence, and I'd like to hear it.
Hi, I'm Linda Sunderland. I'm the Aquatic and Wetland Resources Manager out at GC West, so I will try to answer any questions that I can for you. Do you have a specific one you want to?
Well, I mean, that was my question is, should we not be amending our plan to make it harder to develop wetlands as one of our climate and sea level rise resilience strategies?
That's something we can certainly look into doing. We have a pretty strong plan as it is in chapter 27. The applicants have to really justify why they have to impact the wetlands. They have to provide avoidance and minimization efforts before they can impact wetlands. And if they absolutely have to impact the wetlands, they have to provide offsetting mitigation. So there's a no-loss function overall.
I'd be interested in getting maybe citations to the actual language of the code and any of the relevant policies in our plan, if that's not a lot to ask.
No, not at all. We could do that. But I will concur with her from a municipality standpoint. When I was on the Dania Beach Commission, obviously, a lot of developers came in, and there is a review, and if somebody wants to build in a wetland area, over wetland area, they have to replace it.
Right.
And it's very costly, but oh well. So I think where you're trying to head now, and I don't disagree, is the creation of additional wetlands. Because right now, she's right, we have a no-loss policy theoretically on the wetlands. Now, I don't know if that's what happens every time, because you know how things go in government, but the idea is you don't ever sacrifice or give any up. If you're going to take some, you have to replace it. Having said that, we've talked about a couple years ago here, we had a whole water subcommittee for a while about what was constituted open space and green space. And my argument was, when we do these new developments, I like the ones that create the wetlands, like the ones out in some in Miramar or whatever, where they add the grass, the water. It's really water retention for the big development, but it ends up becoming an oasis. It becomes a wetland, and it gathers more water, and it gathers more wildlife, and things like that. And it's actually beautiful and natural, and it's in the middle of this residential neighborhood, and it's gorgeous. So I think you're right. The policy could go stronger to creating wetlands in areas that we probably wouldn't have thought of, just like we could probably create farms or plants or organic or, you know, vegetables and fruit things in neighborhoods that we don't currently think of either. So I'm you know, go for it. I think we should bring her back and have her do a presentation and answer some questions and go through it, if you don't mind.
Maybe I don't mind.
You and Barbara can work out a schedule, maybe next month, the month after, whatever's convenient or whatever.
Okay. And in the interim, I'll also put together a package of information to distribute to all the members. Mm-hmm. as kind of the background info. I'll work with Ms. Sunderland on that.
And Ms. Graham, you had a question?
Thank you.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And I agree with Mr. Grosso on this, only because we have some additions that have been added to the wetlands. I mean, the largest parcel is 12 acres. All of the other ones are usually less than an acre. And maybe you can include how these came to be, whether it was part of the mitigation, where the developer had to buy and locate it somewhere outside of their property they were developing, and then also to go over the map, because he's absolutely right. The percolation areas, which again, if it's a wetlands, it's already wet, so you're not going to be increasing that much more percolation. But it really has to go hand in hand with the drainage issues that the county faces. And it doesn't just happen on the east side of the county. I mean, it's as bad out west in some areas as they find when we have heavy rain. But if that could be included, so that, because it would be the first time in all the time I've been on the council that this would be presented to us. It would be good for the public. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Got it? Anybody else?
Move approval of PH 5.
Got a motion? Have a second? Have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Hearing none? It passes. PH 6.
PH 6. Good morning again. There's two pieces to this item. There's an A and a B. A is policy 10707, and that's an update of that policy for Broward County Land Use Plan text amendment. The second piece, B, is an update to Article 10 of the Administrative Rules document, which is the implementing article for Policy 10707. So your first public hearing on Policy 10707 was in December, and I'll go through that timeline in just a second. Piece B, the Administrative Rules document piece, only requires a single public hearing because that doesn't go through the state review agency process. So this is the only public hearing that will be for that. When the Planning Council and County Commission adopted that piece in 2014, the County Commission also has to adopt that Administrative Rules article piece as well. So I'm going to give you an overview of what Policy 10707 review is and then what the Administrative Rules piece will do. So as you may recall, you had a very extensive discussion at your Land Use Traffic Ways Committee meeting at the December 17th meeting. And policy 10707 is really, it's structured to require proactive participation and cooperation by Broward County in cooperation with the municipalities regarding affordable housing programs and policies. When a Broward County land use plan amendment is proposing to add more than 100 new residential units to the Broward County land use plan. So this isn't when a plat just comes in and there are already permitted uses. These are brand new units to the Broward County land use plan. This policy was adopted by the Planning Council and County Commission, recommended for approval by the Planning Council and adopted by the County Commission in 2006. And it's had a pretty successful run. During the kind of the housing bubble, it wasn't really, the policy really didn't come to the forefront, but for any amendment that was filed, it was always reviewed for satisfaction of that policy. We call it the menu of options policy. If you're adding this more than 100 new units to the Broward County land use plan, there's a variety of options to demonstrate how you're meeting that policy. The other piece of it is really the demonstration of what your affordable housing situation is for the municipality. So you have the demonstration of that, and then the other piece is what policies do you have in place or are planning to have in place to promote and maintain your affordable housing supply. So through the years, there's been a variety of methodologies that have been submitted, because as the policy exists today, the policy states professionally accepted methodology. So what this land use plan amendment, what this text amendment, sorry, would do is it would remove that professionally accepted methodology as your base methodology, and in its place, what I'll refer to as kind of the Robert Vaughn study. You may recall he gave a presentation at your December meeting. And that takes the American Community Survey data, the most recent data that we have access to, and drops it kind of into a spreadsheet. And it takes a look at the owner and the rental owner and rental for very low and moderate affordable housing, and gives kind of just a quick take of what the affordable housing situation, what the demand is in your municipality. Right now, through 2014 is the most current American Community Survey data that we can utilize. So attachment 14 of your backup material actually has a summary of what that data looks like for each of the 31 municipalities. And it's pretty clear when you take a look at that, that the affordable housing, where the crisis situation seems to be, is for very low rental housing opportunities. There's a deficit by this account of 68,000 units that's countywide. There's a breakdown by municipality. So the only thing that policy 10707 is asking to change, that as opposed to a municipality or a developer who hires someone to give something to the municipality, it replaces that professionally acceptable methodology with this data set as your base amount. So that's the first piece, that's the text amendment. You may recall that the Planning Council recommended that the County Commission not take further action on this until it's tied in with Broward Next in that process. The County Commission considered the transmittal of the item to the state in January and recommended transmittal. It came up again at your January 28th meeting 2 days later. We submitted correspondence, and Ms. Castro submitted a letter to Mayor Kerr, including the minutes of the Planning Council meeting. There was a discussion at the next meeting about whether or not they wanted to rescind the action that had been taken at their January 26th meeting. The motion failed 4-4. There was 8 members present. So Planning Council staff prepared the agenda materials for transmittal to the state review agencies. That's a plus 30-day review. The review agencies had their opportunity to say if there's any regional issue impact. There were no comments received. When that was received back from the state, we took the opportunity to once again submit this information to the municipalities to give them another chance to provide comments, aside from the ones that had been submitted before the December meeting. We only received one comment, and it was from the City of Weston, just reiterating their original comments. So here we are in May, and Planning Council staff, bless you, is making a recommendation. Planning Council staff continues to recommend approval of the proposed amendment. So that's the first piece. The second piece is the administrative rules document, Article 10. And that basically just goes through the article and replaces the professionally acceptable methodology with this Robert Vaughn study, the Meridian Proposal Appraisal Group methodology. And the other addition that Planning Council staff proposed to Article 10 was to ensure that municipalities, because there was some impression and some discussion, that by going to this one standard database, that municipalities would not be able to submit the additional information about the unique circumstances that are occurring within the boundaries of their local government. So we just put clarifying language in there that municipalities and local governments are still able to provide that additional information to clarify their unique circumstances. So the policy itself stays as it is with the change to the professionally acceptable methodology only, and the menu of options is still there to demonstrate how you're achieving and promoting and maintaining affordable housing supply within your local government.
Thank you. Mr. Sturmer?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Madam Executive Director, and members that were here back in December will recall we had a rather extensive conversation about this and pushed forth the recommendation to the County Commission that they take no action, to defer action, and let this item be wrapped into Broward next, understanding what was going on. The County Commission took the position at the time they at least wanted to transmit it to the state for their review to see if they had any comments, understanding, and I think was pretty clearly stated, well, it's going to come back and need to come through a second time. Well, this is that second time. So at the appropriate time, Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion to table item 6A and 6B, not to a date certain, but to lay it on the table, to be pulled off the table when this council determines it wants to hear it again. I don't think anything has changed since our December conversation. This is a question of methodology, and there's question as to the methodology proposed. Taking away what currently exists, which was a negotiated settlement between the county, the cities, and actually the Broward County League of Cities, because there was actually an ad hoc subcommittee created that dealt with certain issues dealing with 1.0707. So this change, which was County Commission generated, is moving moving its way through, understanding there have been comments raised by a number of cities and comments raised on this dais as to the issue of the methodology, because what it does is it currently then, if this passes, would remove the ability of a developer or a city, either in disjointedly or together, to come up with a analysis with regard to affordable housing, and any application would be required, absent unique circumstances, to show why this to use this methodology. And there are questions out there about the methodology. And if we are in the process of doing everything we're doing in Broward next with regard to densities and redevelopment and changing in unit counts, shouldn't this all be done at the same time, because things may change that impact it? So at the appropriate time, Madam Chair, I will move to incorporate the entire discussion from the December meeting, so it's in the record when it gets retransmitted back to the county, as well as I would ask, Madam Chair, that the all of our backup from our December meeting, which was pretty significant related to this issue, be included, and at the appropriate time after further discussion, I'd move to table this item.
Thank you. Mr. Parnas? Oh, wait, Mr. Commissioner Castillo, you're second? Okay.
That motion second,
so I said at the appropriate time. I would make a motion to. I purposefully didn't, because then it would end debate.
My point of order is, okay, so we have this item.
Turn your mic on.
I'm sorry.
So we had this item. We had it once before. We didn't think it was a good idea. It went up to the county. We got a 4-4 vote. Mm-hmm. So that transmitted it. The state didn't have...
Sorry, it had a unanimous vote at the first meeting to transmit it, and then it was brought back to the County Commission for consideration to rescind that first action, and that's the motion that failed.
Ah.
Sorry.
So now we're going to lay the item on the table. Does that get transmitted to the county?
No, it would not be transmitted
to the county. So then where's the county with the item? that.
They're waiting for it to come back.
They're waiting for their, now, they may choose to exercise, declare that they have authority under Chapter 163, that after a sufficient period of time, that they may make a determination that they, since no recommendation has been made, that they could take action at that particular point. However, our view would be, we have not offered a recommendation since it's been laid on the table. We haven't fulfilled that part of the Chapter 163 process.
That's why I'm doing it. Thank you.
Commissioner Gomez?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify something, because I thought one of the items that was an issue was, Commissioner Bogan said that some of the backup wasn't there, and that's why they voted to move it forward. And had they maybe had the backup, they wouldn't. That's why there was the emergency rush to add the backup, the 4-4 split, because of whatever it was, and it's still transmitted over. So I was just putting that in for a clarification point.
Thank you. I'm back to my original, I'm gonna step in real quick. You know, this is my bailiwick these days. You know, normally, process can be independent of results to some degree. You know, in other words, people are worried about the study and what study's used. I get that. I'm more worried about the fact that whether the study is used or not, I don't feel the affordable housing component is where it needs to be yet to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern is, and that's why, in the beginning, we were advocating, most of us, all of us, that this go along with Broward Next, because Broward Next isn't done yet. And I don't know what tools are gonna be in the toolbox yet with Broward Next. We're gonna keep talking about, what else can we do? What else can we put in the affordable housing component? You know, can we get a commitment on CRA funding of some kind, or other special funding? Or, you know, we talked about the dock stamp issue that you all have raised. We talked about the linkage fees that were brought up and all that. And I don't see the complete picture yet, so I'm not sure what the rush is. If the only thing we're changing is the methodology, or at least making it consistent across the board, to determine we need affordable housing, that's kind of like, at this point, a moot point. Everybody knows we need affordable housing. Now, do we know what we need by city by city? Maybe not, but we're 68,000 unit light units in the county anyway. So what's the rush for this? So I'm gonna support the motion to table it until such time as we draw a little bit more of the Broward Next process, and maybe wake some people up about what is and isn't, you know, included or not included, or referenced, or arms wrapped around, to find a solution to the problem, rather than just worrying about how we're measuring the problem. Does that make sense? Okay.
I could, thank you, I could certainly use a little more context, not having the benefit of sitting on a city council like so many of you. Is there any reason to think that the methodology for determining need is going to change through the Broward Next process?
In my opinion, no. I mean, in staff's opinion, so staff is supporting this methodology to provide the same baseline method for every municipality. Because right now, if you're in a municipality and you have a land use plan amendment proposing to add units to the land use plan, the way that it's structured now is professionally acceptable methodology.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Snezak and Mr. Stone, as the county staff for housing, they have to take a look at what's submitted, make a determination, is this professionally acceptable? And then, as I was saying before, this is not going to prohibit municipalities from continuing to layer on and demonstrate their compliance with the menu of options that's in the plan. So the differentiation really between what's happening now, what's occurring today, and what would be occurring if this was adopted, is the base number for the methodology for demonstrating what the need is for affordable housing.
If I may follow up, could you categorize the disputes with the methodology? Is the concern that this is going to yield a number of for need that underrepresents the real need, or is the concern that this is going to somehow overrepresent the real need?
There's two camps. Some it overrepresents. Then there's other camps, and I've had this discussion, that some cities have a need, but we have no resources. The cities don't have any resources, and the methodology isn't going to help us get there. And I said, if you will include in the methodology something that, okay, you want to put up capital redevelopment funds, or, you know, you want to put up something at the county that people can go draw off of, then let's put something in the plan that says, municipalities that have a higher need get first crack at those funds or get in line first, right? But none of that's in the methodology.
Does the methodology speak to just the need, or does the methodology also say, because this need, this is what you must do?
No.
So my response to that would be, what's the harm in adopting the methodology, and then what that methodology means you need to do when you make development decisions? That's the second question to be decided through Broward next. I'd like to hear why that doesn't make sense. And the last thing I'll say on this is, methodologies, whether it's affordable housing or wetlands or whatever, are always subject to dispute. I'm hesitant to say you can't go forward until there's unanimity on the methodology, because that rarely happens in our business. So reactions to that line of thinking.
I think it's important to note that as a result of the ad hoc steering committee that existed between the Board of County Commissioners, the Planning Council, and the Broward League of Cities, it was agreed upon that Dr. Murray's methodology was the acceptable methodology to be used, and his algorithm would be supplied to each city. Then came forth a very specific project in a very specific city in the center of this county that created this issue to now the county commission wants to change the methodology because they didn't like what happened on a given project, because it didn't result in what they wanted it to result in. So we had a methodology that we all said we would work with, and it didn't result in what they wanted. They came back within, I think it's 6 months, to say, we don't like that methodology anymore, we want to change it to another methodology. That's the facts.
I mean, were they saying it didn't give us enough affordable housing, or give us too much?
It didn't give us enough, because they didn't like the independent third-party housing study that was done by the developer and accepted by the city. That's what created this current push to change the methodology to a uniform thing. Because the negotiated, acceptable methodology became unacceptable when it got applied to something and they didn't like the result.
But if the county commission is saying, we have a crisis, we need to do something bold about it, I'm assuming that that's where the staff's coming from with this methodology. We have an affordable housing crisis, we need to do something bold, we need to do something that's going to result in more affordable housing. Why isn't that a priority that says, let's go with staff's recommendation? That's probably not a question for staff, I don't know.
That's all right.
Well, I would just add to this discussion that the piece that this land use plan amendment is proposing to change is for the base data alone. So the structure of the affordable housing policy for the county, for policy 10707, it's attachment one in your backup, remains the same. So the structure for if you're proposing a land use plan amendment, the structure remains the same. You are able to still identify what programs and policies, because that's really the key piece of, do you meet the policy or not? This methodology piece, it's really just a statement of this is what the affordable housing looks like within your local government. And if you have a deficit only, if your municipality has a deficit only of very low rental, it's not saying that the policy doesn't say, well, now you have to build very low rental. It says, what are the policies and programs that you have in place that are promoting, maintaining affordable housing in your municipal boundaries?
Okay, so it is just boy, changing. How many cities in Broward County are not entitlement cities?
Well, I think, are there 19 entitlement cities?
Half. So half of them are non-entitlement, which means the other half only get money through the county, through the SHIP funds, if you get it. So then the city has to come up with their own program to address affordable housing. That's a problem. The second aspect of it is the methodology doesn't talk about quality of housing. There are many cities here, and you all can raise our hands, who have an abundance of affordable housing. Why? Because the quality of the housing sucks. That's what makes it affordable. And there's no mechanism in the methodology or the solution to address that.
That's a legal term, by the way.
we're putting out a ruler, and we don't even know what we're measuring with that ruler. And I have a real problem with that, because it sounds like we're solving a problem and it sounds really good. Let's pat ourselves on the back, and I'm not talking about this group, but maybe another group, and they're not getting us anywhere. They're not moving the ball forward. They're not even getting to the real issue. It's kind of a little hypocritical, quite frankly. And, you know, I'm sorry, I'm real passionate about this because I've watched it for 10 years, and like I said, now I'm in it every day. And I get frustrated with our Board of County Commissioners who talk about it and talk about it, and this is the best we've got.
Yeah.
And Commissioner Gunsberger's right. We've never addressed the quality of housing. So we need to get a bigger wetlands, resiliency, absolutely. Big, huge problem. And we should all be wrapping our arms around that, too. The same with affordable housing. You know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Your basic thing is shelter and food and water. And we're not getting there. So I don't want to move any ball forward and give everybody a reason to be complacent and sit back and say, okay, great, we solved the problem. Because we haven't. I'm sorry, Commissioner Blatner. And I'm not going to say any more because, as I said, I'm very emotional about this.
Well, don't be sorry.
I'm going to back off a little bit. Somebody's supposed to be reeling me in over here.
No, I'm fine. It's fine. You should not apologize for that. Actually, I think we've discussed this before. There is a very big difference between what is affordable in Hollywood and Dania Beach and what is affordable in Sunrise or Parkland. And it also has to do with, even if you can identify what's affordable. Now, realtors told me recently that you can't buy a house in Hollywood for less than $200,000. Well, how in the world does that ever get to be affordable? The problem is affordable housing is not affordable. And it's not affordable because people can't make down payments. Mm-hmm. I talked to a young gentleman who works in our IT department who said to me, I really want to buy a house in Hollywood, but everything that I find is junk or I can't afford it. And I said, and so I played the game and I said, okay, let me ask you a question. Let's say that you found a house that was $100,000, and I don't know if he could. I said, what's keeping you from getting the house? He said, I can't come up with a down payment. So we need to figure out what's available in down payment assistance to put people in affordable housing that is safe and so forth. And the answer is there isn't any.
Nothing.
There's nothing available. I think that's a part of what this package needs to address is among other things. I won't say 1, 2, and 3, but certainly what is the definition of affordable? And it has to almost be on a city by city or zone or district by district. I don't even care if it's by county commission district basis. And then it is, okay, now we've identified that, how do we put people in it? When 19 cities are direct recipients of funds from Sadowski and HUD, and those numbers don't get bigger every year, it really becomes an almost unachievable issue. And for many cities, older cities, and I am an older city, it just makes the older cities older.
I just wanted to mention that Ralph Stone and Mr. Cizek would like, whenever you have opportunity to get
something
okay. To you.
And I'm going to go one step further because Commissioner Blatner hit the nail on the head. And I saw Mr. Stone came in. I was glad he came in. I want to thank him because as a housing authority director, I've tried for 2 years running. I'm going for a third year to get the 9% deal from Tallahassee. Now, I'm sitting on 5 acres of HUD property. HUD owns it. Okay, so if I get a developer in there, there's no land cost per se. You have to lease it, so there's a form of factor in there. I have 39 three-bedroom, two-bath units on 5 acres. And I got 10 people at least every day calling me looking for housing. Having said that, we are trying everything. I've tried sales, we're trying every mechanism we can, but we're holding out for the 9% because of what Commissioner Blatner said. Just building on that 5 acres isn't enough. I need to make that 5 acres create an income stream for either zero interest rehab loans for the old houses in Dania Beach or first time buyers assistance program. So in other words, pay it forward. So, but to get that built, you would think I'm acting for a miracle from the good Lord himself because you can't find any way to get it done. And so you can methodology me till the cow comes home. I know what my problem is. I know we lack affordable housing, and I know we lack quality housing. But throwing this methodology out here right now doesn't, I don't want people to stop thinking about it then and stop acting on it. That's my concern. That's it in a nutshell. And I'm sorry, Mr. Parnas, and then who else did I have?
Well,
Commissioner Castillo, Ms. Graham.
And what I've heard from all of you is that this needs to be tabled.
Okay.
So if necessary, I'll make the motion to table it.
Second.
We're not done with our discussion.
Well, we'll have a motion, a second, for purposes of discussion, but first we'll let Mr. Stezak, and I still have Mr. Commissioner Castillo, Ms. Graham. Mr. Stezak, Mr. Stone?
Yeah, motion to table can't be discussed, yeah.
Oh, then we'll, would you all mind removing your motions?
Sure.
Thanks. We'll come to it in a second.
Bye, Commissioner Castillo.
Thank you. Good morning, Henry Stezak, Environmental Protection and Growth Management Department for the county. Just wanted to address a couple things in the discussion. You know, this amendment is supposed to address a narrow issue in the policy. It's not going to solve the affordable housing problem, and no one's ever represented that from the county side. One comment that was made is about Dr. Murray's study, the FIU study. That's never been required by the county for anybody to use. Just, I thought maybe I heard that that was the case. That's not the case. What the county commission is, they paid a consultant, Robert Vaughn, to study that, the FIU methodology and the methodologies that have been used by the municipalities, because there's a lot of confusion sometimes at this board and mostly at the commission, obviously, of what's the best methodology to use. So Dr. Robert Vaughn was hired. He did a report on the methodology, and he also identified a methodology that could be used as a baseline to use. It's a very easy, it's a spreadsheet, it's the most available information, and it does cost the municipality nothing to use. They don't have to hire a consultant if they don't want to. So that is the recommendation, to just add that in as a baseline to be used. There's nothing, I also thought maybe I heard, there's nothing in this policy that would require or actually prohibit a municipality from submitting their own information or a developer from submitting their own information. We'll still look at that. It's just, we just needed to establish a baseline so everybody's on the same page. We're not talking about implementation. I think Mr. Grasso brought this up. This is just the information that would receive. Then there is an analysis about the programs and policies the municipality would use, and that is not a part of this. That would still continue separately from that. So using this methodology doesn't mean that you have to solve your, you have to, you know, if it says that you have a deficit of 100 very low income units, there's no requirement that says you have to provide that. It's just, what are your policies to address that in the short and long term, that's all. And as a member of county staff, I'd ask you to reconsider your motion to table and to transmit this to the county commission, which is the role of the planning council, to provide a recommendation, even if it's denial.
Can I ask a quick question? Thank the methodology you. Again just measures the number of units based on an income basis, correct?
Yeah, it measures a surplus or a deficit at the for very low and moderate income,
based on certain income levels.
Yes.
Again, it doesn't address anything about the quality of the stock.
It does not. No, it does not.
And does the current review delineate between the various levels of affordable housing different to the degree the proposed methodology does?
I'm sorry.
We just talked about low gradations, stratification of affordable housing, which this study methodology speaks to differently than the methodologies we've used currently, correct?
It is different than like the correct. FIU study, and that, Robert Vaughn studied that. He studied all those methodologies, and this is his recommendation to use. It's a very clean methodology. I know Ralph would like to say a few words also.
But agree, but the current reviews talk about the number of affordable housing units as a grouping compared to, again, my word, the stratification between low, very low, and very, very low.
In general, this
does that almost to a point where accepting that methodology now can give certain elected officials the ability to say, you may be doing affordable housing, but we don't like this gradation here. We want you to satisfy this requirement because of this deficit. It creates potential for further arm twisting, my word, of deals that are created and agreed to between developers and cities once it comes to this building. Because it may be, addressing affordable housing, but it's not potentially the level of affordable housing that a certain member of the commission may want to address in a certain community. And this sets forth clearly the levels or the stratification of affordable housing compared to now. It's a rolled up number across the county and across the cities.
It does, I can confirm, it does provide information by bands of housing, and often we do get that from municipalities.
Understood.
And I believe Dr. Murray's study does the same thing, and also just add that we have been informally using Robert Vaughn's study, and it's worked out very well so far, so I would just throw that out there. So I know Ralph would probably like to say something also.
Mr. Stone, thank you for coming in.
You're welcome. Just a couple of observations. As we've walked the linkage fee option around, it's been interesting in terms of the response. I'm not a big fan of the linkage fee. It absolutely takes money out of the pocket of the developer in terms of their profitability, no doubt about it. And it doesn't generate a lot of money, $2 million a year. But in across the board, as we've talked to the cities, many of your commissions, and the business community, there's been unanimity in recognizing the fact that we are in an affordable housing crisis in Broward County. And what I have always said, many of you may have heard me make a presentation, affordable housing is a real estate deal with a subsidy. It doesn't matter what the strategy is, you've got to come up with some resources to balance the books and to create the subsidy for someone to live in safe, decent housing. Today, again, almost weekly, I get an article or a professional university academic treatise on where we stand nationally. The National Income Housing Coalition is releasing their annual report today on rental affordability. Florida's at the bottom of the heap. The Harvard Joint Center, the worst in the country as far as cost burden, spending more than 30%. The Furman Institute, worst in the country as far as severely cost burden, more than 50%. And there is a study that when you combine transportation and affordable housing up to the moderate income levels, 120-140%, those families are spending 72% of their income on the combination of housing and transportation in Broward County, the worst in the nation. So my simple perspective in terms of the methodology is it doesn't matter whose study we use. We know there's a really serious national leading problem. It's a debilitating problem because the resources are so significant that are required to get at it and to make some headway. But what would be valuable to me is to have some uniformity to kind of look across the cities and see what's going on. Now, you could say to me, you got the thing, it takes 5 minutes, go do it yourself. Well, we did, and we can update it every day of the week, every year, as the American Community Survey is updated. It's a five-year moving set of data, so it's not going to be always just perfect, and I guarantee you that there are very talented professionals out here that work for the development community or will work for you that will come up with a set of data that may be more favorable, if you want to use that term, for your particular perspective, and that's okay. I think Mr. Snezek mentioned that the proposal allows you to do that, and I would not disregard that. You know, we've had gentlemen with PhDs come and explain to us why their approach is better or sets a more accurate perspective as far as the situation in an individual city. And I think everyone would have to agree that we, and I think the board has been very fair in recognizing that in spite of whatever study it is, the magnitude of the problem is one that we can't expect the cities and the county to resolve in a particular land use amendment. We're just trying to make some, what I call layups, some singles. We're not going to hit the home run. So I think there's some value in getting to a uniform methodology. The other only thing I'll leave you with is there's only one business model that creates new multifamily rental units in the state, and that's a 9% tax credit deal, as Ms. Castro explained. The board is the only entity in this county that is doing the tax credit match, in spite of the fact that we've asked every entitlement city, all other 15 of them, to do it if it's in their city. It used to be $250,000. We have about 10, 15 applications a year, so we come out of pocket, the board comes out of pocket to provide those matches, because without them, you can't get a perfect score. Without a perfect score, you can't even get your ping pong ball in the bucket. And that's how many, that's how competitive it is at the state. It's a lottery. So we get a set aside for a project a year, a couple hundred units, and maybe another ping pong ball. So we're making progress at 200 to 400 units a year, when our deficiency just at the 60% level, which is the tax credit cutoff, is over 60,000 units. So I would just offer a perspective to you. Well, one other thought. The board every year that I've been here, about 10 years, has had in their legislative package a request for the legislature not to put in place, but to allow the board to create a countywide referendum to ask our constituency if they would like to have a local doc stamp process like they have in Miami-Dade, which is the only county in the state that has it, which would generate in an average year about $30 million, so that we could do those deals like they're doing. While we're doing 100, 200 units a year, they're doing 1,000, 2,000 units a year, only because they take those unselected tax credit deals that go up to the state, and they bring them back home, and they've got the match to make it work. It's a debilitating problem. The resources are just staggering. But in terms of making some sense about where we all stand, for the life of me, I can't understand how this methodology is going to create a problem. I just don't get it.
I think Mr. DiGiorgio, Commissioner Castillo, Ms. Graham.
I'm just going to want to support the table of the motion, and I don't want to reiterate everything that's been said already. It's been said and stated very eloquently. Addressing the issue, if it's as innocuous as we're led to believe, I would leave the language we have in now, professionally accepted methodology, and or the study that we're talking about, and then a municipality can look at both and look at them. You say they can, in unique circumstances, they can submit other backup to be considered. You know, when you look at every profession in the development community, you have everything from landscape, site planners, civil, structural, and all these things. There's nothing dictated except there's a basic code that goes by, and then the professionals take responsibility for providing how they're getting there. Here we're taking that away. We're saying, now you can give some other backup, but the professional who signs and seals that set of plans is responsible for the methodology they're using for their project. It's then approved by the local city, local governing agency. Here we're basically saying, you can give that data, but if you really, we're going to consider it based on what we're telling you to consider it on, but we'll take into consideration your unique circumstances. So just on that point, if it is innocuous, as Mr. Stone and Mr. Snezak said, that it just basically gives us a good baseline to start from, but you can give other information, I don't really see then why we actually need it, quite frankly. But beyond that, the much bigger picture is it really does give a pass on the big issue of affordable housing, which I think we need to consider completely as a whole, take it as part of Broward Next, and not just move little steps down the road and say we've done something when we really haven't, because I think you said it really well, Madam Chair, is we're measuring something, we're not really sure what we're measuring. So, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Castillo?
I brought up my point of order because I wanted to know whether or not It was in fact in order to defer, and it appears that it is.
To table.
And it appears that it is, though it's been suggested we not do that. Nonetheless, it appears to be in order. I'm going to vote in favor of that, and I'm going to tell you why. We have two very, very respected professionals who have both told us that we have, and we've heard it from others, that we have an affordable housing crisis in Broward County. Yet, despite the word crisis, this community has not ascribed the level of seriousness to the problem that a crisis should demand. I can only I'm entitled to say that because in my city, Pembroke Pines, we have 800 units of affordable housing that a city owned and operated. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you that the rents offset the costs, and of course the the people of Pembroke Pines nothing to have that asset. Maybe tomorrow we sell it, maybe tomorrow we do something else with it, but right now, we have 800 units. I don't know if another city, I hope that there might be another that is using that model, but it pays for itself. Now, I've heard about 9% low-income housing tax credits. Why would we do that when bonds are less than 4%? Why would we do that? Except that we're so desperate to develop this housing that we're going after 9% financing when financing is available at so much less. All we have to do is use the models that exist. If we need, what was the number, Henry? 56,000 units that were low?
68,000.
I'm sorry, 68,000 units. We're not gonna make a dent in that with this. And I'm saying no to it, not because I don't think it would hurt. Yeah, I think it would help, but it's just not enough. It's almost insulting to the magnitude of the problem. And so I'd rather us just go back to the drawing board and come up with something that makes sense. If we have a problem, let's ascribe the seriousness to solving it that the problem demands. And this, let's kick the can down the block stuff with this penny ante policy making just doesn't cut it for me. So if the way to promote that is through a procedural action, as the mayor has suggested, I embrace that.
Ms. Graham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I may ask, and Mayor Sterner or any of the other board members can tell me this cannot be disclosed. You talked about the city that brought this whole project and calculations to the forefront. Was this the project implantation?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Because for some of the board members that haven't been here that long, they're not going to know. But this goes back a couple years, and it was a good project, and I voted for it, and yet other things happened that haven't been brought up, and I don't know if we can revisit that.
Well, but I think part of it is also important that at the time, the executive director, pursuant to the current code, made a recommendation of denial for certain a different project that implantation. So there've been a couple of projects bubbling through plantation. One of them dealt with affordable housing. A separate project dealt with unit counts and could, under today's redevelopment, units be used in a certain way or more units compared to what the code permitted. And the executive director and the staff made a recommendation of denial, knowing that's what the code required compared to what today's standards would be. So that's why I'm suggesting part of this wait and all be done as part of Broward Next, because so many different things are being done together that why not continue to keep the entire thing together? Mr. Stone and Mr. Sneezak know, because Mr. Stone knows my city has done we've done at least two agreements with the county in an effort to maximize the dollars that are available to my city, but we don't administer, and we've entered into local agreements with the county for them to use our dollars. So it's not about understanding there's a need. We all agree there's a need. We want to find a solution. Part of my concern, Mr. Grosso, to answer your question, there's been a constant negotiation between the county and the cities on this, and their current way of doing it is to do it through this council, through a county commission generated amendment, as compared to saying we want to change the methodology, which was in some respects agreed to at a subcommittee, and then we all agreed to do it, and now they're doing it differently because they didn't like what happened. That all cards on the table, it's that simple. It's not about necessarily the methodology. It's the county's methodology for trying to make this happen.
And then just to close, thank you very much, Mayor Sterner, so that it's on the record and the newer board members have a little bit of history now that they can look into further. In our backup, it states that this, and I'm speaking now for City of Fort Lauderdale, the City of Fort Lauderdale did not support the proposed amendment. And I'm gonna go along with the motion to table this, but I just wanna bring up that the letter from City of Fort Lauderdale in our backup is signed by Jenny Morjon, which is no longer with the City of Fort Lauderdale, and it's dated December 1st, 2015. And if the city still has that position, if someone wants to agree that that is still the City of Fort Lauderdale's position from December 1st.
Yes, and I would assume that it is still the city's position, because as I said, I sent this back out to all the municipalities for an additional opportunity to review and didn't receive any additional comments.
And we have someone here from the city of Fort Lauderdale, but again, if they don't want to say anything, then I'm just going to say that this is the way it is. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Just by way of information, the methodology is published and it's out there, and I guess the county's been using it in a pilot-type program, or at least, you know, in the background to see how it works out. There's nothing to keep any county commissioner from looking at that methodology on any items that come up before them right now, is there?
No.
And they could vote any way they want regardless. Even if the methodology says, you know, Fort Lauderdale has no affordable housing and they want to put 5,000 units on the ground, and they don't want any affordable, a commissioner, county board of commissioner member can sit up here and say, I'm good with that. Yes? Or would this stop them?
This methodology doesn't stop any decision from being made. It's just a base data, as Henry said, very narrow. It's just about what is the affordable housing situation in that municipality based on the American Community Survey and this methodology that's been established.
And we have that in the land use plan by virtue of meeting the goal of 1.0707.
Right, policy 10707 says that you're going to demonstrate what your affordable housing needs are, and then the second piece is, which is the more important piece, which will still be continued to be permitted, is what are your policies and how are you promoting and maintaining affordable housing within your municipality? As we've seen land use plan amendments reviewed, you know, through the past 10 years that this policy has been in place, it's very few times. Most of the times that a municipality did not meet the policy was because they didn't want to submit any information about their policies and promoting and maintaining. Whenever that information has been submitted, what their need is, it's been accepted, by county staff as part of the review process.
So the burden is on the municipality to demonstrate to you they're meeting their need or they have a plan to meet their need.
Right.
And pretty much those are universally accepted unless they don't respond at all.
Right, unless they don't respond at all. And a lot of times they've asked for additional information. County staff has said, okay, great, well, you've given us this, but what about this piece of it? You know, if you're trying to meet the A through J of the policy, is there additional information that you can give us regarding this piece of the policy? And I would say, you know, I can't say 100% of the time, but a 99.9% of the time, the municipality is able to submit that information to demonstrate its programs and policies.
Okay, here's again, stepping forward with the methodology. First of all, I think Mr. Stone has to have a tool to do comparisons. That's his job. So he has to have something to show him on a regular basis what's going on in the county in the various areas or municipalities, or somebody suggested, even by, you know, commissioner zone or whatever. And the reason I like the precinct by commissioner is regardless of what's in the plan, or regardless of what methodology is being used or anything, any board member of the county commission can ignore it all and vote a different way anyway. And so if you're going to hold their feet to the fire, it would be nice to have it by the precinct, if you will, by each of the commissioners sitting up here, so they could maybe be held accountable for their votes. Having said that, he could be using it today, and it's okay. The board wanted to look at apples and apples, and I agree with that. So they have a methodology to do that. I'm going to ask again, why does it have to be adopted to the land use plan right now, as opposed to waiting for Broward next, when they could be using it today, and it doesn't matter? Right?
Right. As the staff has said, they've been informally using it, most recently with the Miramar Regional Activity Center addition of the units. That was the methodology that was used to present the information.
And I think it's important for them to give it to the board members who want it, because the board members want to check what the municipality is submitting. Isn't that the real goal of the methodology?
Right, they want everyone to have the same baseline, and that's what this is about.
But the baseline is, do you have enough affordable housing or not? And if whether you do or not, the city or the municipality could submit something to you saying, well, I don't, but here's my plan. Well, we've already agreed nobody has enough affordable housing in all of the county.
In that category.
So, again, I think the board should be holding everybody's feet to the fire on affordable housing and worry less about the methodology and just assume that there aren't enough wetlands, assume that the sea level is going to rise, assume that there have to be affordable housing or a really good program that there's affordable housing. Right?
I mean, I don't know, that's the, and again...
The executive director's in a really bad spot, putting forth a staff recommendation that's really on behalf of county staff.
And I'm going to drop you here and not to answer any more questions.
Can we call the question?
Okay, we have a call to question, so I think we have to make a motion, because we stopped the motion because we weren't, oh, I'm sorry, Commissioner Gomez.
Well, actually, there's a lot of stuff that you've just brought up, and it's been used in customary practice, and if that's still the case, then it can still be used in customary practice to keep the level line. It happens all the time, but once you put something into a set procedure, policy, as has been discussed before, people hold on to it like gospel. But I wanted to kind of ask, call the question, but a clarification, because I believe it was to table till...
Till we pull it off the table.
Well, I wanted to do possibly a friendly amendment to that.
Sure.
Because I know that things need to have a wrap-up date, so it's not just hanging out there. So maybe we could do that we table it until 3 months or so after Broward Next is resolved, and then we can determine at the time it's even needed or not.
Andy, let me ask you this, and I appreciate that, but I have a feeling then the county commission may just look at that and say, what if we tabled it to our first meeting after the summer break?
Well, again, I'm going to answer your question. It's our recommendation that it not be tabled, and that, because you have a responsibility to make the recommendation.
Thank you for that.
The county may, the county commission may exercise their authority to move forward because of that anyway. But I would recommend that, I would not have a floating date. I would have either a specific date or just, the table is, would have to be taken off the table. If you lay it on the table, it's indefinite.
So, Madam Director, we're off for what months?
We may not be off at all.
Right now, none.
Okay.
Right now, I mean, it really depends on how the flow goes through the summer. You know, we're planning on definitely June and July. We may need August. I guess we could maybe need September. So maybe towards the end of the year, you may be looking at it. We don't have that date like we usually do.
So I'd move the table to our July meeting.
And
you want a date certain? I'll say our July meeting.
That would be a deferral to the...
We can always continue to defer it again.
And can I add something to his motion, if he doesn't mind? If the county commission should decide not to wait us out or not to give us the opportunity, and I know this is difficult for you, but I assume it has to be on an agenda somewhere, would you please go to that county commission meeting and stand at the podium and kind of summarize what our concerns and issues are?
I would ask even further, I would ask that the planning council be notified, that the entire planning council be notified if the county commission takes up this item while we have it deferred.
But I'd still like you at the podium at that point. We can all get to the podium too, but, okay?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I have a question.
Mr. George.
Regarding the table, the issue of the table versus deferral, because now we're changing it to deferral, it sounds like. The table, again, it is indefinite by the definition of the table, but any one of us who vote in favor of this can pull it off the table at any time. I am still in favor of tabling this motion rather than the deferral, because it is exactly what we're trying to do. A deferral is kicking the can again down the road.
Listen, I'm okay with that. What I'm trying to do is almost heed to some of what Mr. Morotis is saying to us, understanding we're not doing what he wants. What he's giving us legal advice to do, not that Andy wants us to do anything, except...
If you're more comfortable with a table...
I'm comfortable with a table and pulling it off when we want to pull it off.
I am too.
What? Okay.
But then once you make that motion to table and it's seconded...
I understand, that's why I...
Mr. Friedle.
Which method gives us the quickest way to take action should we need to?
Well, if you take it off the table, then you probably have to renotice it to the next meeting. So that's like a 2 month, you know what I'm saying? That's not a quick action. That's an action to take.
And if we continue to defer, we can just go month to month, should that...
You could defer to the... to the next month and defer it, I guess.
Again,
against all recommendations. They have advantages and disadvantages based upon what your goal is.
At this time, I'll move items 6A and 6B to be tabled.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. You said all discussion ends. Vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
What do we have? Thank you.
Mr. Grasso.
Mr. Grasso, that's why I called out, not the one to call him out. I knew you needed to know my name.
Get him on camera, get him on camera.
One day, the eyes have it. Anything else before we adjourn? Thank you all again very much. Have a good day. Be safe out there.